The Army of the Stars. Few decades ago, a great commander came on Earth to prepare the ground for the Army from Stars, who would come a little bit later. He came, we were all children. He prepared the ground with great sacrifice, sacrificing his health, nearly his life. He said to me, he died many times within and without. He prepared the ground for the Army. This man is a true commander. We are the Army from the Stars who came. The name of this true commander is Alex Collier. He prepared the ground. It was the harshest task, and we are all now here. And the ground is ready, and we are fighting. And we are winning. We are the Army from the Stars. Thanks, Alex, if you watch that. 350, the 20th of July 2020, Q&A. Mating rights from outer space, the 20th of July 2021, https://www.youtube.com/watch.v=ninpncivsk, alien sex. As promised, a special one, about the different mating rights of galactic cultures. Tonight this Q&A is about the mating rights in different cultures in the galaxy, not all the cultures, because that will be too long to explain, but the ones I have in my book, Thorhan told me about, and I picked the best in the most interesting ones regarding to the sexual habits and behaviors. Situation update: I got amazing updates on the 17th, few days ago from Thorhan that was like brutal. Suddenly my implants just switched on and it was buzzing and hot, and he really wanted to put the greatest impulse for me to hear the words very clearly. I was about to be on the panel with Dr. Salah for James Gilliland the ECT conference. It was maybe 15 minutes before, and I just got this message and I told Michael and he went, wow, that's amazing. And we decided that I prefer he passes on these biggest updates, because Michael knows better than anyone I know to gather the different pieces of the puzzle and find the correspondency and just check double, check triple, quadruple, check everything, and just to make it really valid to the public. So what's happening in the solar system? There has been going on since a long time meetings with different space forces. There were 14 governments involved in space programs, and there was SEA meetings on Jupiter these last days, 12 meetings in total. And these meetings were gathering all these 14 country representatives, military officials and progressive corporations, CEOs, to decide how would everyone get on together to share the space in the solar system. Michael said straight away to me, oh, this is so similar to the JALTA agreements before the end of the Second World War, when everybody knew the victory was at the door and had to set plans for the future. And it's exactly what's happening now. This is all proof that we are winning and the victory is at our doors. It's absolutely fantastic. Reptilians are leaving, the moon is free, Mars they are, there's a big exodus now from Mars. Mars is in the process of being liberated. Earth as well. Nothing really new with the liberation, because it's still ongoing. In these 12 meetings with the representatives of the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the Andromedan Council, the different representatives of different space programs present their plans and their agendas for the share of space after the victory. So the Galactic Federation was just helping Jevorion and just leading the meetings. But it turned out that 6 countries were selected that had the most viable and progressive programs that would benefit the many. Because this is 6 countries' programs wanted to work for peace, and was there was a mention of safety zones. What Michael told me is that safety zones, that's a term that is specifically was basically employed in the very recent Artemis Accords or agreements, which are the sharing, the putting in common all the all different space programs. I think there were 8 countries, and that is organized by the United 351 states. So at the end of the meetings you find all the details in Michael's article on his website. It turned out that United States was best able to lead the unification of the different space programs and become responsible of organizing everything to everybody to get on together and build the safety zone of peace and non-aggression, non-warfare zone in our star system. So everything is going towards a victory and a peaceful future. The space programs that were not serviced to the many, but service to self, means China and Russia are not involved in it. So there was a lot going on, and I think we are assisting at the birth of Starfleet, and all of this was foreseen and passed on into some cinema industry. Star Trek to just tell us, that's gonna be future, start visualizing on it. And this is happening, and this corresponds to so many other things that happening on Earth at the same time. We have all these fleets in space. We need now to not think about going everyone for ourselves. Now it's time we unite, because it's the only way forward. That's what why the Federation generated these meetings. We're hosting them, to tell humanity now watch out. This war is being won soon, and now you need to quite move them quickly, to get on together, because it's coming. You need not to get on together and work together, because that. You have no choice. Now it's been won soon. So not finished, not over, still fights to do, but so here we go. I've read comments under Michael Salas' video about this update yesterday, and many people were concerned that we again some agreements signed on behalf of humanity by military officials and corporations. That reminds something not great. That has nothing to do with it. Who is signing these agreements? Secrets basic programs, which are not going to be secret anymore, US Navy, white hats, good people, progressive corporations who wants to work for the good of humanity, off-world humanity, how said Thorhan. So these people are good people, and they are really doing this to help build a good great future now, that all the baddies are being overcome and expel. All my letters and Thorhan messages at exopolitics.com.q. If you can share your thoughts, info on Terra, ET Divine Partnerships. Example: part of some Starseed's missions involves reuniting with ET counterparts in this lifetime to raise their vibration, balance and masculinity, feminine on Terra. That's very good questions. Thoughts is that the Starseed program, the envoys, is part of the plan, to help humanity of Terra go through this. So of course all the envoys, the majority of envoys have incarnated now to just be part of this shift and this victory. And there's nothing divine in all of this, it's all real physical things that are happening, and the divine it's us. If we want to seek for the divine, we need to seek it within ourselves. Reproduction in extraterrestrial species. I am going to present you different species regarding to the number of partners in mating, starting B1 until Hive. Different examples and how they all do this, who they are, where they come from. Masculine and feminine is, although often a rule for humans, is not a rule for other species. Then you can have genders together. Homosexuality is very frequent. You're going to see all these things. Negamac, 352. This one is the predator that the reptilian Shikar fear the most, the Negamac. The Negamac come from constellation Scorpius. They don't look very attractive, that's maybe why they do it on their own. Sorry Negamac, you're great because you really freak the shit out of the reptilians. They're nice. They can be very aggressive, so they come from the star system Antares in the Scorpius constellation. They call themselves also Nomopo. Negamac is more the name of their planet and in the Antares system. They are one of the oldest races in existence and the predators you don't want to cross on your path, tall and large, looking insectoid. They are not humanoid based, and their genetics composition is to our knowledge neither reptile grey or something else living in this galaxy. They are really a species on their own. The Nomopo / Negamac are unique. So they are androgynous and reproduce by laying eggs. Then they fertilize them, once the eggs have reached a certain level of maturity. So besides that they are terrible warriors and they terrify everyone, what do they do, how do they doth hat? These are beings who don't have intercourse. They are very scary, they look like big spiders, they have tentacles, they have kind of a human head. I mean if they had to mate, imagine that would be quite complicated. So they do that themselves, they are fertilizing themselves. They are kind of male and female, but not even male. Female is more concept of humanoids. It can appear in all mammal-based species. It doesn't, we'll see later on that, some greys, all the greys are not reptilian-based, Some greys have humanoid genetics and even some have both, so that's gonna be interesting. But Negimak do not have sex. They are doing that inside of themselves. They produce the substance and the hormones and everything able to create their own eggs. They are thrown father and mother. They are neutral gender. So that is very handy because they don't need to find a male or female partner. That's the only one I know in my book who do that themselves. There are other ones who are doing this to themselves, but it's an option when they have no choice, because times of war or somewhere else exiled from their planet or things like this, they look scary. They resemble two aliens in the movie Independence Day. Cinema industries, especially Hollywood with the deep state behind, has been conditioning people to make them believe it or prepare to alien invasion. Star Trek is something else. All these movies where aliens are baddies, aliens are invaders. Independent Day, it's the Negimak, because the Negimak are the greatest fear of the deep state. If the Negimak come, oh my god, they are finished, the reptilians. The Chukka fear them. They have passed last year agreements with the Galactic Federation. I don't know about these agreements, but it was positive. The Galactic Federation reached out to them. They live very far from here and they are feared by pretty much everyone, because they're quite aggressive. The thing is, they're not that controllable. So they wanted the reptilians for themselves. So when they're out of fear, they're gonna be kicked out by shedding season by the Negimak. I suppose of what understand that the Galactic Federation didn't want them to intervene too much in the affairs of Earth, because they're scary, and they're not very controllable. They can be very harsh and aggressive and they don't respect rules. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But they are how they are. They're not bad guys. They're all right. They're normal beings. They just have a character, a temper. Q. Do they eat us? I heard that they eat humans' flesh. Q. Do they have a big territory and are technologically very advanced? 353. They don't have a big territory. I don't know why, because they could. They are technologically advanced. They don't get on either with Orion Group. The ships are made of dark glossy metal and of very elaborate shapes. They are warriors, and they're quite advanced. They're very tall, maybe 3 to 4 meters high. Chukka fear them. You can take one Chukka, shading season. Q. Like the spiders on Mars. They're not the same as the spider beings on Mars. The spider beings on Mars are not Negimak, they are a species of insectoids. The Negimak are not insectoids, they are nothing known, they are just themselves. They are not reptilian, not insectoids and not mammal. If the Negimak were on Mars, there would be no baddies. Dark Fleet, Chuck based on their dot the spiders on Mars, it's insectoid and they're smaller. Chuck, now we are talking about baddies. Who fears the Negimak most? The Chukka. They are from a parallel dimension. They've been thrown in our dimension by the Tiamatans, who got rid of them. Thank you the Tiamatans. And we are actually looking to do the same. To throw them somewhere. They've been thrown here through a portal that is in the Draconis constellation. So that's why we are calling them the Draco Reptilians. But of course it's not their name. They were us just thrown on Alpha Draconis and Beta and Sigma Draconis, these four worlds. But Alpha Draconis is the main world, Thuban. These are a patriarchal society, although they have a queen. So that's very particular. They have a queen which never leaves the planet. That's the rule of the society, but they have royalty, big tall white skinned Chukka. And then you have the Chukka lords and masters, those you saw with Thewings. These ones are on Earth bothering everyone and on Mars, fleeing. They are by nature and name reptilians. The way they reproduce by their reptilian nature is by eggs. They have females. We never hear about the females, because this society patriarchal, really strongly patriarchal. The women's are just like slaves, and really treated like nothing, and really good to sex and reproduction. And the females are really treated like nothing. You see the pattern that they tried to impose on Earth, they have that to make this our society to their image. So these naughty people reproduce having sex male and female. I do not know about homosexuality with the chica. I'm not sure, I haven't been told. They guys like to have sex with females to submit them, and I said their power, its domination is very violent. Having sex male with male doesn't work, because they properly kill each other. When female is nearly like subdued, that's the game when the male owns her and can fertilize her, impregnate her, and she's like half dead, half alive. It's horrible to us, but it's their culture. You need to keep an open mind. We hate to chica, they eat kids. But keep in mind, in their culture, from their point of view, the way this way of having sex is what they like to do. Now the point of view of the female, I'm not sure. But you know, when you grow up one in an environment, in a culture, and you are being groomed, that's how things are. You know nothing else. You say, okay, right, well, I was unlucky at birth, but that's how things are, and I embrace it, because either embrace it or either I hate it, and I just kill myself, because it's unbearable. The females, of course, lay eggs, and the eggs mature outside in heated warm pods and places with poles, and cozy and warm and very damp, very humid. What and where is the origin of female? I can't find it anywhere on the internet. 354. Female is from the Latin. That's where it comes from. Q. So the chica species are like animals on Earth? I believe, from my own experience, observing nature, that some species of animals, a lot of them, are more civilized than humans themselves, and then many other species, such as the chica. I think there's no comparison. I think we're all different species. Trying to compare something to an animal to say, oh, it's lower behavior, it's like putting ourselves in the perspective of, for instance, a Killy Tockert, who would say, oh, these humans see us as animals, we inferior. So to me, animals are not inferior, they are different life forms, who have thrown rights, which are different. So I wouldn't compare the chica to animals, but I have to as their rights are like beast, but not beast in the sense of animal, in the noble sense, beast like a violent and brutal. El Manuk, they come from constellation Gross in Gliese 832. El Manuk are a very ancient race. Their planet is named Ardenmont. They are known as the most peaceful races. They are at the origin and creation of the Council of Five, which was nine at the start before the Galactic Federation of Worlds truly took existence. So they had to purpose to look after and their developed worlds and protect them against the Ryan Alliance and the Chuka Empire. They are very tall and very thin. You would think they have only skin on bones, but you would be surprised by their physical fitness and strength. Their eyes are very large, and as most of grey races, they wear dark protective lenses. They are a species of greys. They are species of greys, but they do not have the reptiloid genetics. We say grey to everybody who looks like this. They are very nice. They are a race in extinction. They're not very many left. They have two genders, male and female, but in times of necessity the males can switch gender by activating a womb in their stomach. So that would make a third gender. The males can do that, the females cannot change sex. Their race is so old that the genetics has evolved with so much abilities, and when a race is very old you develop, genetically, that's nature abilities to survive. They have in fact three genders, two natural genders and a third that is created by the males who develop female organs, so that would be like transgender. As I told you, the males in times of need can transform into females by activating a womb in their stomach. They have a pouch that the females don't have, because they have a proper wound. Females developed that is like kind of a pouch in their stomach. And they can produce a certain kind of hormones, it's commanded by the brain, to transform activate this part by certain hormones, that transforms into an emergency womb inside of them. When they change, it is a very painful process. These males, they have normally orifice because they eat and drink, that it's going to be adapted for birth. I remind you that these people are not human and they have different genetics, different physical abilities. When they do that, there's an adaptation that the anus will be able to receive, be connected to Thuom and receive this birth canal. Well, that's maybe why this womb is part of the digestive system, because it is connected. When they change, it is a very painful process. That this is why this is performed only when necessity requires. They are not very numerous now, and the old race preferred retiring from galactic active diplomacy. They still appear in the Galactic Council of the Federation though, and in the Council of Five, but they only have diplomatic presence, not an active diplomatic role. I don't think they visit Earth. 355. They had a problem in 1908. They were involved in the Tunguska explosion. The Dorsae, which is Anatha race, had stolen human slaves to the Matra. The Dorsae's say to the Federation, help. And while they were thinking about it, an El Manuk ship passed by and a Rahal cargo ship passed, and the Dorsae saw them. So they say to the El Manuk, please help us, mayday mayday. The El Manuk said, well, we think about it because we're not fit for fighting Matra, we're just like peaceful diplomatic passing. So the Galactic Federation was about to respond, and they asked the Irahal Kargath that was passing, okay, you're well kept for war. We are coming, start the rescue of these poor Iridiotes, Dorsae, and we are coming. But the thing is, the Federation intervened, the Matras were destroyed, but in the process the Irahal cargo was destroyed. Boom, boom. And we have now the Tunguska crater. That's the story. Do they visit Earth? Yes, so rare, we can really not say. Q. Do galactic beings use orgasms to connect with Source? Yes, totally. The more evolved you are in density and in consciousness, that means you reactivated, you can do that more. There are many layers, levels of reaching out with orgasm. I'm going to talk about that when I'm going to talk about blondie people in a minute. Or Ella page 216 in the Amazon book version, they originate from Ophiuchus constellation. They are part of the Council of Five. They are tall grey beings, very slim. Or Ella, I have a high thin long neck, a triangular face with a slit for the mouth, barely visible nostrils and slanted eyes with pupils. Or Ella are very nice people. They are very old as well. Very wise, they were there the foundation of the Council of Five and their ambassadors for peace in the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. They have two genders, but they do not copulate for reproduction anymore. Why? Because this function became inefficient with the evolution. They still can copulate, and it would add for pleasure, because it activates energies, and somebody was asking. It is a certain way of tantric meditation to reach out to higher realms of consciousness. So how do they reproduce? They are greys still, but not reptiloid. Since that all the greys that are reptiloid turn to the bad side, and those who are not reptiloids are slightly mixed, some those who are not reptiloid based like mammal based greys, they evolve very much higher like the El Manuk, like the Igaroth, like the Orella for instance. So it would seem that the reptilian constitution maintains, you cannot can go so far in evolution of consciousness and frequency. Whatever species, it's the reptilian genetics that's fit like this. That's very interesting. The Orella are greys but not reptilians. So they can reach out through sexual enjoyment to higher realms of consciousness. How do they reproduce? They make non-organic individuals, individual bodies. So it's like dolls, synthetic bodies that they clone from their genetics. And they imbued in it a soul from their matrix. So they have a biological body, they can use it for making sex and stuff. Of course they eat, they do everything, but they make it artificially in pods and they incarnate in these bodies, that are artificially. Q. Do they change couple or are they always with the same one? Unless Thorhan specified to me, which he hasn't for the Orella. The Orella can change couple, yes. It depends on the cultures and the frame of mind. Some culture will never have a fixed partner, because they're just doing sex for just reproduction and enjoyment. Some cultures will stay with their, 356, same partner all their life, and some others will do both, like humans do. Go with many partners, enjoy, and then decide to settle with one. That the most common pattern. Q. Do they get lustful or jealous? Jealousy and lust is feelings of possession and lack of confidence. That belongs to races like, for instance, ours, at our level. I know when you evolve in consciousness, you don't feel these feelings, you just get over this. So these races, I think, the Orella for instance, the Elmanuk, they are way above that and they don't. But the Chicome. The Carians look weird. The Carians come from the Orion, Betelgeuse. But they have nothing to do with Eben, they are cool. The Cari or Carians are cool. They are humanoids, who have melted that genetic with birds. And they are humanoid, blue birds like. That may be the blue avian race, that some people talk about. They come from the fourth planet in the Carina system. They are originally a Lan Liren colony, the flying Lirens W who settled in the Orion zone on a world named Carian. Regarding to their condition being more tropical in them, they bred themselves with a local species of bluebirds. And that's how they could strive in this environment. The Lirens are masters in genetics and they love doing this kind of experiments. So that's how the bluebird humanoid Carians were born. I know it's weird, cats and birds. Although they resemble to birds, they are human genetics and they have kept their reproductive human mammal functions unchanged. They're Lirens. You call them by the Terran term the Blue Evians, says Thorhan. They have sex like humans do. Q. Can they fly? I suppose so. Otherwise they would have removed the wings. If they kept the wings in their genetic mix, it means they wanted to use them. So I suppose they fly. Beautiful blue angels. They have two partners, male and female. But now let us not forget that they are Liren souls. And in this Mana star system K62 where they are from, these were such evolved and peaceful cultures. Homosexuality is also a way and nature as well, so they do that also, intergenders. They do that too, but of course they're male and females when they want to reproduce. They are in the Galactic Federation of Worlds and they have a big role to play. They are quite active about taking care of the Starseed program, and they have Starseeds on Earth. Agaroth, you have to know that the Agaroth have two cultures, two centers in the Orion Zone. And in the Orion Belt Al-Nilam, the central star, and that's the main world and the modern world and the colony that became quite important on Mesa. So the original Agaroth from Al-Nilam, that's the Arabic name, but the real name is Zagara. They call their star Zagara. The Al-Nilam live 2,000 light-years from Terra, it's very far. They are very ancient race and culture which has nearly disappeared. They are part of the famous Council of Five, archetypal Orion Elders. Agaroth are tall, pale-skinned with a large skull and appearance of serene wisdom. That's Al-Nilam. 357. On Mesa, because of the different radiations of the star, they have a different skin color and they are brown, like dark brown. They are spiritual, highly intelligent race and they do not take interest in conquest, of course. You read more about them in my book. The Agaroth are hermaphrodites like the Negamak. They are a race with a human mammal genetics. They can reach until the ninth density in consciousness. They're hermaphrodites. They have two genders, male and female, but they can choose when they come to birth, that they are born neutral, and then choose a gender. I don't know why and how, what motivates their choice, but I know that they need to be male and female to reproduce. Anax is a partner and two kids. So the family cell is not like on Earth. They make kids, but then the kids are raised by the community, everybody raised the kids together. When they decide to embody a gender, Anax decided to embody the male gender, they are going to make love like humans, like mammals. As they are very evolved beings, they are going to do this, reaching higher states of consciousness in a very tantric and sensual way. Many of you could witness the love Anax radiates from his heart, from his person, from his being. So imagine, but that's his way of being. It's no normal state, it just radiates love. Sometimes so much, that you can take hits. It's so radiating love. That's his normal state. Imagine when they are with the partner, they are in love and they share this love and they make love and this all explodes. I mean from our perspective on Earth, I think we couldn't stand the frequency of it, of two Igaroth making love. It's like atomic love reaction. And they are one of these races like the Aehel where the conception of an outspring cannot happen without this cosmic orgasm. It needs to happen, because when you bring down an incarnation a soul to a species, that is super high, they can go until 9, you need to tap very high to open the channel super high to the soul matrix.